Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Welcome to Dudes on Hockey Podcast, episode 74. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, Sarah Palin's daughter's baby daddy is posing nude for Playgirl.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to take it all off and show the world as Jack Johnson.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Nice, dude.
Yeah.
That was good.
I've been working on that one for a whole 10 minutes. Welcome to the podcast, dude.
It really bore fruit.
I would say that joke was very hit and miss, like this recent road trip.
Oh, wait. That wasn't quite as funny.
No. Especially what wasn't funny is we couldn't watch the game last night.
Yeah. That was a bummer. Actually, you know what's funny is I was listening to it in my car because there's no Radio TiVo, which kind of sucks.
True.
And so I'm listening to it and I can't see the Scott Nichol goal. You know, Scott Nichol, it's his first goal in a Sharks uniform. He's quickly rising to the top of the list of my favorite Sharks players at the moment. And he scores. I was so happy for him. There was nobody else in the Sharks I wanted to score more than Scott Nichol, and I couldn't see it. And
you've been waiting for that goal for a while, dude.
I have, and there's no video. There's no YouTube because nobody decided to publicize it. Nobody decided to televise it.
I was trying to figure out why, and I guess it's the Tuesday night games versus just has the exclusive rights to whatever game they want, and they didn't pick that one. So if it's not... broadcast on Versus, I guess it's not
there's
broadcast.
There's been other Tuesday night games the Sharks have had that haven't been televised. Like last Tuesday, for instance, when they played the Nashville Predators.
Dude, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out.
I think the plans just misaligned and both the Sharks and the Predators decided independently to bypass on televising the game.
Yeah, there was something on Working the Corners with David Pollock that explained it, dude, and I'm going to kind of look for it while we're talking here because I barely listen to you anyways.
Well, yeah, nothing new about that.
Dude, I mean, it's been quite a week, you know, with the...
A little up and down.
Yeah, a little up and down. Let's start with the Dallas game.
Yep.
You know, if we can remember back that far to last Thursday, you know, the Dallas Stars came into town, and they certainly don't look like the Dallas Stars I remember, dude.
No, they got trouble scoring is what it seems like. They don't quite have the same... But this guy, James Neal, is certainly something, right? I mean, this is a guy...
He's the real deal, for sure. I know that because he's on my fantasy team. Thank you!
I was just going to say that. He's a good fantasy pickup. I think he's been taken in both of our fantasy leagues. But if you happen to be in a fantasy league with not a whole lot of teams, and you want a guy that might give you some points, James Neal might be the guy. He looked pretty good. He really looked like the best guy on the ice for them. I mean, Brendan Morrow, who I have on, I believe, both my fantasy teams, I didn't really notice a whole lot.
No, not at all.
You know?
But, you know, Neil, the thing with the way the Stars are playing now is they play a lot like the Sharks, that kind of style. I mean, they're playing up and down. The game was, I mean, there ended up being a lot of penalties, but it really wasn't that physical.
No,
not like,
really.
You know, sort of the, you know, in your face kind of hockey that the Stars played under Dave Tippett. I mean, this is definitely different.
Right.
A different style. And, you know, the Stars looked bad at the start. We got the better of them, and then they came roaring back, they got the best of us, dude, in the end. So what do you think about the Stars long-term as far as, you know, is this the right way for them to go? Do they have the right personnel to kind of play this way?
It wasn't that bad. I expected that the D would be the problem, but it seemed like they had trouble scoring more than they had trouble defending. I mean, Trevor Daley's never going to be an offensive threat, but he's a guy that can really skate, and he was managing to keep up with everybody. And, you know, Stefan Robida is like a top five scorer on that team. And that shows you how much trouble they're having scoring when Stefan Robida is in your top five scoring. Not that he's a bad player, but, you know, they got Matt Niskanen and some of these other guys. That Mark Fistrick. Actually, those names are so similar. But, and I sort of expected the D to sort of drop the ball a little bit, but it was really the offense that wasn't doing so good, even though, you know, Brad Richards didn't seem to do much. Mike Ribeiro was doing his same old crap. Marty Turco, again, puts in a really good performance against the Sharks, I thought. Although there was quite a bit extra drama, as the Canadians might say, in terms of him handling the puck. Usually you see him handle the puck a lot And that really kind of annoys you because he always manages to get up to the forwards and it breaks down the whole forecheck. But this time, there was a lot of times where he was trying to puck handle through traffic or something. I mean, I've never seen a goaltender do that before.
Yeah, he's got stones of steel, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll handle the puck anytime he feels like. He was the number one star of that game. And it almost inspired Nabby on the other end to get...
Yes.
Nothing makes me more uncomfortable than seeing Nabby, who's not as good at that.
No.
As Marty Turco, get out of the net and, you know, make some really, you know, uncomfortable plays.
Right.
And, you know, I wish that was something that he would cool off a little bit on, but I think maybe he's on the other end going, geez, that sure looks like a lot of fun.
That's a lot of fun skating around like that.
I'm going to try it.
Kind of reminds me of the guy sitting behind us, actually, because that's like his thing. We're in a new section this year, and I like our seats a lot this year. They're really good.
Yes.
And, you know, if you've been listening to us for a long time, you may remember that where we sat last year, we had a couple of guys that we were not the biggest fans of sitting.
No, the Stemmer was behind us.
We had this Pete Stemkowski, who was the hockey professor, pretended he knew a lot about hockey, but in fact didn't. And then we had the guy on our left.
E-Harmony.
Who managed to talk about, he had a two-hour conversation with the people he was sitting with about his love life, going to Paris, putting on a new foundation on his house. All this crap didn't mean anything to the game, and we had to sit there and listen to it.
Yeah.
So this season, much nicer crowd around us. We do have one guy who I think has been a long-time season ticket holder, but he does say whenever Nabby plays the puck, almost whenever Nabby plays the puck and there's an opposing player within 30 feet of him, he says, "Nabby, get back in your net." And sometimes I want to say to him, it's like, what, you expect the D to just sit there and take a monster hit and cough it up behind the net? But this time, a couple times, he was right. Nabby, get back in your net.
I do want to say I did get that. I called the Brad Staubitz Chris Bartsch fight.
You totally did.
Before the game even started, I said, dude, you know in the first 10 minutes that Brad Staubitz and Chris Bartsch aren't going to be able to help themselves.
Yeah, and sure enough.
Yeah, and it wasn't a very good fight,
not
actually.
Not particularly.
It was pretty weak. Poor Brad Staubitz.
Yeah.
Jeez,
I mean,
took a puck in the face, and they're not really giving full disclosure yet as far as, but if he broke his cheekbone or something, he can't play, dude, right?
Not for a while. And
the way that he plays, he can't play for a while.
A month, at least. I think that's what happened, too, because the story that they relayed on the radio when they talked about that whole incident, which was, you know, five guys on the ice, only five guys decided to skate that morning. It was an optional skate. Jason Demers takes a shot from the point and it hits Brad Staubitz in the face. And Demers says, "Hey, Staub, are you okay?" And Staubitz says, "No, I don't think I'm okay." And if Brad Staubitz is saying he's not okay, I mean, this guy's a gamer of the first rank. You know something's wrong. So reading between the lines, he broke something in that mug of his. And, you know.
Yeah, so, you know, you're getting a puck coming at your face at 90 miles an hour or whatever.
Yeah.
Who shot it?
Jason Demers.
Maybe 89 miles an hour. And
yeah, I mean, that's going to suck.
Yeah, that cannot feel good. Worst part, optional skate.
Yeah.
Didn't have to be there.
Getting hurt in an optional skate.
It's
really unfortunate. So he's going to be out. So that means the Sharks had a whole brand new fourth line in the second Nashville game in a week, which happened Tuesday night. But let's deal with the games in order. So St. Louis,
dude, I'm gonna stop you real quick. I'm sorry,
dude.
Tuesday's night game was not televised by either the Sharks or the Nashville Predators broadcast crews because it was played at a time when the NHL's contract gives Versus a national window of exclusivity. Versus was carrying the game between the Washington Capitals and the New York Rangers.
So they had the window of exclusivity.
They have the Eastern time window, I'm sure.
Eastern,
you know, so
time.
If it was on, you know, like the Tuesday game last week when we played the Preds,
it was at home.
It was too late, you know,
right.
So they're not interested in that. So, you know, this was the same time as the other game, so they have the right to pick the game they want, and the other one can't be televised. That sucks. Nuts to you, Versus.
Yeah. Yeah. Screw you.
Yeah.
Versus.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Good job, dude. You showed them.
Thanks for that tidbit, dude. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I knew I had read that somewhere. I can read.
You learn something new every day.
Sure do, dude.
That you can read, I mean.
I sure can read good. How about that St. Louis game?
Yeah, actually, you know, that was a tougher game. They always played as tough, and it sort of happened at a bad time because the day before, the owner of the St. Louis Blues calls out the entire team and says, okay, now it's time to start winning. Now it's time to start playing hard. And, you know, this is a team that I thought was pretty much still in the cycle of rebuilding. and Dave Checketts, the owner, comes out and says, you guys got no excuse, start winning games. So you knew they were going to come out.
Yeah, spoiled by a Cinderella playoff run.
Yeah.
Cinderella story on the back nine at Augusta.
That's right.
Dude, you know, I think they overachieved last year. I like that team. I think they play really hard.
Yeah.
But to even say that Andy Murray's job is on the line and all this is, come on.
That guy, did he win the Adams for best coach last year?
God, I can't remember, but I mean,
he should have.
He certainly was nominated.
He probably should have. And so for that guy's job to be on the line already, I mean, that's stupid.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you're right. They're playing down more to their level, maybe a little bit under where they should be playing, but I don't think they're as good as they played late in the year, and they peaked at the right time and went to the playoffs, but they got housed in the first round by Vancouver.
Well, so they certainly threw everything they had.
Yes.
Including the kitchen sink at the Sharks. I mean, the shot totals were 39-16, dude.
17, I have. Maybe you're right. But yeah, I mean, they outshot us in a crazy way, but the Sharks still managed to win 3-1. I guess they just managed to score when it counted and held them off.
Well, we have better players.
That's true. You know, I read once that that's a good way to win, is to have better players.
That is an excellent piece of advice. Danny Heatley buried it on the power play on a great pass from Dan Boyle. And then Jed Ortmeier chipped one in, you know, about 16 seconds later, dude. And that was just, it was too much for St. Louis to handle. I like that the Sharks came back in that game. Mm-hmm. You know, down 1-0. Against a team that was throwing everything they had at them and playing, you know, with everything on the line, they held it. They hang in there, dude, and they pulled it out. And you know, that empty netter by Joe is maybe the only time he'll ever shoot.
Right. Although no, I think he had a goal against Nashville last night. But Chicago, that's a team that you can't fall behind. You can get ahead and they can still come back, and sure enough they did, tied it, went to overtime, and they score 40 seconds in. So Chicago's one of the hottest teams in the West, one of the best teams in the West, and it wasn't enough. You know, it was a back-to-back, right? Chicago on the second night of a back-to-back, that's a tough spot. At home, Chicago's been a great home team this year. That, you know, that's a tough draw. The Sharks got a point. Can't be too unhappy about it, although they did cough up another third period lead, which they did against Dallas. So those are, you know, that's two times.
And their last, before the loss last night in Nashville, their last three losses have all been games that they've coughed up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's a little bit concerning. I wrote about that on the blog, saying, you know, the Sharks paid tribute to Jeremy Roenick by going back to their old ways and by coughing up another lead. But the Chicago loss didn't really bother me that much just because of how good that team is. And, you know, they were missing Chris Versteeg. We were missing, you know, who was out in that game? Well, Rob Blake.
Yeah.
I guess so. So, you know, you've got those guys out. They've also, you know, we don't even know what they're going to look like with Marian Hossa yet.
That's true.
And that's something to really keep in mind. You know, as far as, you know, how is this team going to look with Marian Hossa? Where is he going to play, dude? What do you think is going to happen when Hossa gets thrown into the mix?
It's going to be top. I hear top line. Taves, Kane, and Hossa. Top line.
Do they become the best line in hockey instantly?
It's going to be pretty close. That's for sure. That's for sure. Because I think Semin on Washington is not playing quite as well, not as awesome. But, you know, Hossa, it's hard to come back 2 months into the season and expect to play at NHL shape. Even a guy as great as Hossa is, you don't always see that. Sometimes you see it takes a little while for a guy to get his legs under him. So I wonder about that. But you know, we're going to see firsthand pretty soon, right? Because when do we play Chicago? Next
Wednesday. Yeah. So we'll see them the night before Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. Hossa's going to come try and stuff our turkey.
That's right.
Exactly. We'll see, dude. You know, I mean, we've seen firsthand from Jeremy Roenick that playing after shoulder surgery is not easy.
No.
And sometimes it can take a long time to come back. And you know how I feel about the Blackhawks. I love the Blackhawks. I've even said in the past that, you know, I would even consider swapping rosters with them.
But
I think they're cursed, dude.
Yeah.
I still think they're cursed. I think that there's, you know, Marian Hossa, you know, for selfish fantasy league reasons, because I have him in one team, I hope he comes back and plays well. But I just have a funny feeling that we're going to have a Marian Gaborik situation here. That, you know, Host is going to be in, then out, then in, then out, then in, then out this year. And it's really going to hurt them, hurt their chemistry. and bring them down. And I still think that the injury bug is going to claim, and their subpar goaltending,
yes,
is going to claim problems in Chicago, dude. And one more thing, you know, we've heard about these extensions.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that, because this is the biggest news of the past couple of days, is the rumor. And we talked about 2 or 3 weeks ago, okay, Taze, Kane, and their great defenseman, Duncan Keith, all going to be free agents this coming summer. And we said, we read in the hockey news, there's no way they can keep all three of those guys. Well, we hear today that they're in contract negotiations with all three, maybe a 5-year deal for about $6 million plus for Taves and Kane, and then a lesser cap hit per year for Keith, but they're talking 12 or 13 years for Duncan Keith. That's a lot of money in a lot of years. So what do you think that means if this actually comes through?
Well, I think it means that they're going to have to part ways with some of their really valuable role players.
That's right.
Which, you know, dude, we've seen from our own team that how important these role players are, that the transformation the Sharks have had with these great third and fourth line impact guys that have been added to the roster. You know, what's going to happen when they have to trade a guy like Dustin Byfuglien?
Or Cam Barker, or
you know,
both.
Cam Barker. Well, I think it's going to have to be both, dude. When you look at where they are as far as where the cap is next year, right now they have $43.3 million committed, and that's without Duncan Keith, that's without Patrick Kane, and that's without Jonathan Toews.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's another $15 million at least that you're throwing in there. And now you're at the cap. Mm-hmm. I mean, now you're screwed, and you've got John Madden leaving. Adam Burrish, not going to re-sign him, I guess. You've got guys who are Andrew Ladd. I mean, he's a pretty important player to that team. You're not going to keep Andrew Ladd.
Second liner.
So they're going to have to make some really tough decisions. There's guys who I think are untradeable, or you know, they're going to have a really weird situation. Don't you think Brian Campbell's the one who's going to have to go?
Well, how can you move that contract? That's the second thing everybody says about Brian Campbell, about the situation. Oh, let's move Brian Campbell. How are you going to trade $7.5 million a year for Brian Campbell?
Well, this is something we talked about in the Dallas game. I was like, how good would the Dallas Stars look with Brian Campbell to activate this style of play?
Yeah.
They really need a guy like that. Would they be willing to trade a guy like Trevor Daley, mm-hmm. who's making less money and only signed, I think, for one more year, to get Brian Campbell? They have the cap space to do it. Is it worth it for them? It might be.
I don't want to see that.
I don't want to see that either.
I don't want to see that
at all.
But
I'm saying that there's teams out there, I think, that would be interested, and you're not going to get the same type of player back. And I think Chicago probably would be okay with that. But if you can get a guy who can contribute, like Trevor Daley, I think Brian Campbell's the one who's going to peace out, dude. Or the other one, it could be Brent Seabrook, which I think would be another really big mistake.
Crazy trade.
Well, I would love to see Brent Seabrook and Teal, but I think that the way the Blackhawks operate with, you know, Scotty Bowman kind of in the shadows, there's zero chance that they're going to trade these guys to anybody who's going to be able to.
That's true.
But, you know, there's one rumor that I heard, and I can't remember if it was on that horrible rumor site or not, mm-hmm. but it kind of makes sense. I mean, what about Chris Versteeg to the Kings for Frolov?
Yeah.
Makes sense for both teams. Frolov's off the cap next year. He's still going to be able to be a contributor. And Versteeg, I mean, I love that guy.
Yeah.
And he'd look great in a Kings uniform. Yeah. That would make me unhappy too.
Yeah.
So they've got valuable pieces, dude. But they're going to have to part with guys like Versteeg, Byfuglien, Barker, Seabrook.
Yeah. I'd love to.
They're in trouble.
We've talked about Sharks needing D. Barker or Seabrook in a Sharks jersey. I mean, when I first heard about that, then everybody immediately says, well, that means they got to ditch Byfuglien or one of these other guys. And I think to myself, how can the Sharks? I mean, because they're making, like Barker's making $3 million or something like that. I mean, they're not making an absurd amount of
money. But this is why it can't be us, dude, because we have no room to absorb those contracts.
We have no room either.
Yeah, they're going to be looking at teams that have a ton of room. Ton of cap room flexibility in the future. I mean, we do have future cap flexibility, mm-hmm. but we'd have to give them back an expiring contract. And, you know, it's not like we're offering a Patrick Marleau anymore.
No.
You know, and not that he'd want to go there, but, you know, what do you do? I mean, they would need, like,
trade Joe. They could be roommates again.
Right. We'd have to offer them. I mean, there's nothing to offer them. And they wouldn't even want someone like Setoguchi, because then they're in the same problem.
Yeah.
you can't pay him.
That's
so
right.
I think Chicago, there's going to be a lot of drama surrounding this team in the coming months with these extensions, and then they're going to have to trade some of their heart and soul guys. I think it's going to hurt them.
Yeah.
I really think it's going to hurt them, dude.
I hope you're right, because Chicago's definitely looking like one of the elite teams of the West, and to see them stumble would probably be to the Sharks' benefit overall.
They will never win a cup with Cristobal Huye in net. No chance.
That's the call.
I'm serious.
Book it.
I think that that's why Dallas is a natural trade partner for them. If they could offer Dallas, if they say, hey, we'll give you Brian Campbell and Christopher Stieg if you give us Marty Turco and, you know, and Trevor Daly.
Or,
and then they
or
try and
Mark Fistrick or something.
Right. And they try and ride Turco to the cup this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense.
That's
and not
the dumbest thing they could do.
No, the Stars, if you're the Stars, you go, hey, okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, yeah.
No one's going to take Huye, dude. Zero chance.
True, true. Okay, well, and then we have Nashville, which we can only have the audio version of Nashville. Although, you know, it's nice to hear Dan Rusinowski and Jamie Baker again on the radio, because usually you watch them on TV. You don't listen to them very much. I don't listen to the game when I'm at the tank, although a lot of fans do. I don't do that, but it was nice to hear them call the game and everything like that. I like Jamie's insight and all that kind of stuff. It's funny how he gets a little testy when Sharks players make a dumb play or whatever, so that's kind of fun to hear. But Nashville is just the Sharks, kind of too many odd man rushes. If I had to sum up the game in one phrase, too many odd man rushes. They gave up a couple of two-on-ones, a couple got put in the net. You know, Sharks scored with a minute left, almost, you know, made a game of it, almost put it in late, wasn't enough. Nashville, you know, it's unfortunate. It's too bad.
And I guess it's disappointing how much we seem to have struggled with them, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
Who on paper, you know, they're not even close to being in our league, but it seems like they play hard, and Scott Nichol alluded to as much after the game and in the paper today. You know, he was really vocal about how disappointed he was in the overall effort, which, you know, that's another reason why you got to love that guy.
That's right.
You know, that kind of stuff, you know, there wasn't, you know, he wasn't sugarcoating it in any way. I mean, he's like, you know, we sucked last night and, you know, there needs to be some accountability for how we played.
No duh while we lost, you know.
Yeah.
No mystery. Well, another point in the Scott Nichol column there for me. It was a good night for him. Dude, I know you got something here on transactions, because we're bringing dudes up a lot, right? We sent Couture down for a day or whatever, right? I mean, we sent him down to the minors after we play Chicago. We bring him back up from the minors to play Nashville. It's a, you know, there's a weird salary cap reason you do that. And the reason is because the salary cap is actually calculated daily. It's prorated daily. So you get Logan Couture, who's making over $1 million this year, off the cap for even a day. That does have cap implications, albeit minor ones.
So, but it's really just saving them money. It's not about managing the cap. It's just managing, like, how much they're paying those guys.
What's both?
Right.
It's both.
But what does it matter if they're up against the cap and they keep them around, then they just bring them back 2 days later? I mean, that's, so they're, you know, to me, that's what doesn't make any sense. And I think, you know, they can say that they're doing it to get them in another game in Worcester.
But he didn't play.
Yeah. So, you know, I took a look at this because I was curious, and I noticed, you know, that the Sharks, as of yesterday, had 14 total round trips for players between the AHL and the NHL.
Wow, that's a lot.
And I was wondering, you know, geez, I mean, how does this compare to other teams? You know, because we've got Jamie McGinn, he's been back and forth four times. Joe Callahan has been once, because he started with the team. So mm-hmm. I counted that sending him down and then back and then down. So that's really only one time. If he comes back, it's now two.
Mm-hmm.
Fraser McLaren once, Derek Jocelyn twice, Steve Zaleski once, mm-hmm. Veshi once, and Logan Couture has four round trips right now.
Jeez.
And so they're at 14.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Sharks have been riddled by injuries, right? So I mean, that kind of accounts for it a little bit. But you compare it to the Kings, have had one. Oscar Moeller's been up for 3 days and sent back down. Dallas Stars, five.
Okay.
Ducks and Coyotes, four.
Mm-hmm.
Sharks are now at 17 because they sent back McGinn, Couture, and Ferriero today.
Jeez.
I just saw this on CapGeek Transactions.
Wow.
So now, you know, they send these kids back on a plane. Now, I know they probably flew from Nashville.
Right.
And flew to Boston, which is, I mean, I don't, I'm guessing that's a 2-hour flight.
Maybe a little bit more, yeah.
So they flew them there so they could play, you know, maybe in a game tonight. I mean, I don't know. I'm looking to see now because I just saw this, you know, when the Worcester Sharks played last. Oh, they played tonight. Oh, dude, I'm going to take a real quick look here and see if they played while we're talking.
Okay.
But, you know.
They're sending, yeah, I mean.
Are they going to call them back again tomorrow? What's the reasoning behind this, dude? Because I'm getting frustrated.
Maybe Doug Wilson's just putting him on his card so he can get the miles.
Why are we doing that?
Yeah, okay, cap.
I mean, Logan Couture played tonight, had an assist.
No other reason than the cap, right?
Ben Ferriero had a goal. Jamie McGinn, an assist. I mean, so obviously it's not really affecting them that much.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I want my two best, you know, forward young players making now what it looks like 6 round trip flights between, you know, cities in a month.
Mm-hmm.
That just seems like, and the thing that's the most concerning to me is what kind of message is this sending to these players as far as, okay, you're back in Worcester, Jamie and Logan. We want you to play 22 minutes. We want you to be on the top power play unit. We want you killing penalties. And you guys are being relied on for offense. And then get on a plane and play on Friday night against Philadelphia and play 6 minutes on the fourth line.
Right.
And, you know, get your ass handed to you by Daniel Carcillo.
Right. Right.
Like, what is this? What's the point of all this, dude?
I don't know. I ask the listeners questions at dudesonhockey.com. Other than the salary cap reasons, I'm at a loss. I'm at a loss. I don't understand. They didn't do this last year. You know, are they really just, you know, trying to get as much cap flexibility as they can possibly get? So at the deadline, they might be able to get somebody, or maybe there's a free agent out there. They're looking at Manny Fernandez. I don't know. I honestly don't.
And this is extreme, but let's say Couture and, you know, McGinn play. Let's say they play 50 NHL games this year because, mm-hmm. you know, they're back and forth. And then they also end up playing 40 yeah. AHL games.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
These guys are playing 90 games.
Yeah, yeah. That's not good.
No, that's not good. I don't see how that's going to be a good thing for these kids. So I'm a little concerned, dude. I feel like the Sharks are being a little cheap. Mm-hmm. To be honest, and you know,
although those flights, I mean, they're paying for the flights.
Yeah,
those are cheap.
I guess I would love to ask somebody from the organization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why? What's the reasoning behind this? Is it development? Is it purely money?
Mm-hmm.
Why is this happening? What I mean, I understand the roster moves because there's injuries, but why not just let the guys fly back to San Jose and practice with the team tomorrow?
Yeah, put them up at the De Anza Hotel and...
Yeah, let them stick around instead of having them fly in, you know, Friday morning and play against Philadelphia.
Yeah.
It just seems like a waste, dude.
Agreed, dude. That's some good hunting, though. Good numbers.
Thanks,
haven't
dude.
Seen those anywhere.
Well, you know, you heard it here first.
All right, last thing. We're at the quarter pole of the season already. Go figure. We've already played... Sharks have played, what, 20...
23 games.
23 games. So we're a little over the quarter pole, which is between 20 and 21 games. So let's talk about surprises and disappointments around the NHL. The Sharks, I can't say they've been either a surprise or a disappointment. I mean, the Sharks are a great team. We expected them to be great. They're number one in the NHL in points. Of course, we're all happy about that, but that certainly didn't come all the way out of left field. So in terms of surprises, that is for the, you know, for the good, I have 3 teams down here.
All right.
Number one has to be Colorado.
For sure.
Yeah, because we all expected Colorado not to be very good, although they've shown some signs as of late that they may be fading a bit, but they're still near the top of the NHL in points.
One again tonight.
So they're still doing it. I wonder if they can hold on, but that's a testament to something. Joe Sacco? I mean, who is it? Is it Craig Anderson and Joe Sacco, and that's it, or what else is going on?
Yeah, I think their young players are playing well. Their defense is playing, you know, pretty well. The goaltending's been excellent,
mm-hmm.
and you know, if you've got a young coach that you believe in, I mean, we've seen you know how what an effect that had on the Pittsburgh Penguins. They won a Stanley Cup.
I wonder if Sacco's really created this us against the world thing. Everybody thinks we suck. Let's go out and show them.
Maybe. You know, he had a lot of these guys last year playing at the AHL level. So, you know, they know him. They believe in him. It's obviously turned out to be a really smart move. Tony Granato, you suck.
Second up for me is the Devils. I didn't expect the Devils to be this great. I mean, they were 9-0 to start the season on the road, which is, you know, close to an NHL record before the Flyers finally beat them at home. You know, the Devils with Jacques Lemaire, you didn't really expect it. They lost some players. They lost Brian Gionta. So I didn't really expect to see this team at the top of their division. You know, not as crazy of a surprise as Colorado, but still, you know, I didn't really expect to see this.
Product of the system, dude.
Could be again,
you know,
I guess.
40 goals allowed. I mean, that's the best in the NHL by, you know, 3 goals. So they believe in what's happening there. They've got the right personnel to make it happen. And you've got a goalie who, you know, in that system, he's almost unbeatable.
Mm-hmm.
That's
true.
So, you know, for the Devils aren't going to be able to keep up a number one seed status, but I thought they might be this good.
Third up, Buffalo for me. I mean, we said before the season, okay, they didn't make the playoffs last year. They didn't make any changes. Why would you expect to make the playoffs this year? Are we looking really stupid right now because we picked them to suck?
No, dude, because I do not believe in them.
You still don't.
I still don't. I think that they're going to flame out. And it's not like they're not going to add any pieces at the deadline. You know, they might make the playoffs, but they're not going anywhere, dude. I'm sorry to say that, but I just don't think... I am not a Buffalo believer.
In the surprise column, who else you got, dude?
I got to say the LA Kings.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we both thought they were a team on the rise, but I didn't think they were going to be this effective this fast. And I think another team that has been a surprise to me is the Phoenix Coyotes, who I think we thought were going to be a giant aching butthole.
Yes.
They'd be a playoff team right now. They'd actually be our first round opponent right now.
Wow.
And you know, I wouldn't mind that so much.
I'll
actually, I think we'd be licking our chops a little bit, but you know, Phoenix, they really bought into Dave Tippett, and you know, they're another one though that they're not going to be able, they should really sell.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they're going to be a playoff team, they should sell, because no one's going to the games anyways, dude. How about disappointments?
Well, number one has to be Anaheim.
Yeah.
Thank God.
By leaps and bounds, dude.
Anaheim, not very good.
No, they are sucking eggs.
Although, watch it, because Corey Perry and Getzlaff are on some scoring tears as of late. So they may, just by their own efforts alone, they may pull this team a little bit up.
We'll see. I want to see them on Saturday night. I'm very curious to see what is going wrong here. Like, what's happened?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they did make, and is it that they lost Chris Pronger, who is really their identity?
Yeah.
How much did that hurt them?
They don't play that mean, nasty style quite the same way anymore.
So, good. Great to see them totally eating it. Dude, I got to say, the other biggest disappointment in the NHL is the Boston Bruins.
That's funny. I have Boston right here.
Yeah, Boston Bruins. I watched them play the other night. I can't remember who they played. What, they just look lost. Now, I know that they are banged up, too.
Yes.
No Lucic. Savard's been in and out. Krejci's kind of coming off of surgery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, you know, they've got guys like Dennis Weidman. What's going on with that guy?
Yeah.
4 points.
I'm a huge Dennis Weidman fan,
He's not looked good.
Yeah.
He has not looked good.
They're like 500 right now. Aren't they 8-8 or
eight,
something?
8-4.
Not good.
And they've only scored 47 goals, which is, you know, one of the worst in the NHL. I mean, they're down there with like teams like Nashville and Carolina as far as incompetence in scoring.
Mm.
And that's not good.
No.
You know, you see the New York Islanders have scored 60 goals for, jeez. I mean, you know.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't know. I don't know if they're going to be able to come out of it or not. But
yeah.
Boston Bruins, not so good. Any other disappointments, dude, before we go?
Well, Carolina kind of has St. Louis disease, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I have Carolina because they're just so effing bad. but they have St. Louis disease. I mean, they went far in the play. They went to the Eastern Conference Finals, right?
Yeah, and they sure did.
They beat the Boston Bruins, and they come out this year, and they're just terrible. So, I don't... You know, Cam Ward's out, and that's a big part of that team, is good goaltending. But... You know, I didn't expect them to be this bad. So they may be selling. You know, we talked in recent weeks about them maybe trading Ray Whitney or something like that. We could see that happen because they seem to have lost all semblance of a plan in Carolina.
Yeah, I think a player we talked about that I would love to see on the Sharks, we're talking about strengthening defense. I mean, he's in the last year of his contract, Joe Corvo.
I love Joe Corvo.
I do too. I think he would be a really solid addition to a top four blue line. You know, I think he'd look great in Sharks uni, dude. Okay, like out of that. These teams that are not playoff teams right now, mm-hmm. who's going to be this year's Anaheim Ducks that's going to get hot? They're going to make it in the end, dude. They're going to end up, you know, coming on fire and making it into the playoffs and then make like a legitimate playoff run. Who's that team this year?
Oh, man. Who am I going to say? Oh, man. Who am I looking? I'm going to say the Thrashers.
Whoa.
Yeah. Thrashers are over 500. They have 21 points. They're not bad. But Kovalchuk, he could turn it on. You know, Slava Kozlov had a goal, you know, his first goal of the season. I mean, if they can turn on the right guys that were turned on last year, and you talked about how you thought they might make the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
Atlanta could go on a run, because if those top guys get hot, then you cannot stop them. I mean, the fact that Kovalchuk can be as awesome as he is on a, frankly, a fairly bad team these last few years is a testament to how great of a player he is. And if they're not bad, then he could be even better.
That's a great answer, dude. That's a good answer. You know, this is a weak ass answer, dude, but I'm going to give it anyways. They're currently not a playoff team. I still think they're going to be a playoff team, and I still think they've got a shot at winning their division is the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they've been another team really ravaged by injuries. Luongo's back. They're, you know, playing only 500 in their last 10, 5-5. But I still think Vancouver's a team to watch. They're not going to be afraid to add players.
That's true.
At the deadline. And if they kind of can get hot in March and April and sneak in as a 7 or an 8, mm-hmm. or even if they win their division, you know, that as a third seed, you know, they're a team I wouldn't want anything to do with them.
They could go hire the whole Swedish national team like they're trying to do. Go get Naslund back and Sundin and Forsberg and all those guys.
Dude, did you know that the Sharks are still undefeated at home in regulation? And so are those Tampa Bay Lightning.
No kidding.
They are. They're 5-0-4. Dude, last question for you. I think we're running out of time.
Yeah, we are.
Who has the worst home record with only one victory on home ice this year? They're 1-6-2. The worst home team is...
Oh, God. I don't know, dude. I hate these questions. The Toronto Maple Leafs.
That's right.
Nice.
Nice, dude. Good job, dude.
When you ask which team is the worst, Toronto's
never a bad answer. I cannot wait for this Flyers game on Friday, dude. It's going to be a lot of fun. Great game on Saturday with the Ducks. We're going to have a lot to talk about next week.
Pronger, he's going to be there back again. Do not miss it, Sharks fans. This is going to be one of the great games of the year, so do not miss it. Some of the best talent the NHL has to offer, all at the tank. Get tickets if you can. Go to the game. We'll see you there. And that does it for this week's podcast. Thanks so much for listening.
All right, dude. Go Sharks.
Catch you next week. Same time, same place.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.